Look with us to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, and I'm going to be starting at verse number 14, reading down through the end of the chapter, verse number 18, 2 Peter 3 and 14. Praise the Lord. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother, also according Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Everybody say, Lord and Savior. Lord and Savior. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can be seated and the Lord bless you tonight. Amen. I want to talk to you about Lord and Savior. Praise God. Lord and Savior. Brother Gross, a few days ago in our conference, and I am going to have to try to pace myself tonight and to try to do all I can to try to measure my speed and also the ferocity and the volume, because I don't want anything to break loose. And if it does, I'll just turn it over to the elder and he can finish it up. But I do feel like being where I'm at tonight. And I do want to talk to you about some things that I have been looking at for several days. But whenever Brother Gross was teaching the other day, he pointed out the fact that when you are reading and studying the Word of God and you notice that God groups some things together, then you need to note that and pay attention to the grouping. Pay attention to how, especially when there are some things that are repetitive, they are repeated over and over and over again in Scripture, and they are placed in the same grouping. They are placed in the same sentence, if you please. And so when we look at 2 Peter or 3 Peter chapter, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, he said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. We find in the New Testament, especially, that these terms or these words, Lord and Savior, they are grouped together over and over again. They are placed in the same verse. They are placed in the same sentence. Oftentimes, they are joined by that same conjunction, the word and. And so while you have one on the one hand, the other one may not be very far away. They're always kept close together. And I believe that there is a reason why that the writers of the New Testament time and again spoke to us about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In verse 18 again, he talks about growing in grace. And he talked about that our growth should be in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is the will of God that we grow in him. It is the will of God that we progress in him. I am not convinced that it's God's will that we have a stagnant relationship or a static relationship in God. It is God's will that we be progressive in our growth. Praise the Lord. All of us would be quite concerned if a child was born in our home and after a few weeks, there were no signs of growth. Amen. If we saw a child that had been in our home for, had been born and had been in the home for a year, and it was no bigger a year hence than what it was the day it was born, we would be concerned about the health of that child. Our minds would question whether or not there is a major problem. As a matter of fact, we would not even have to have a doctor tell us. We would not need a physician to instruct us that there's a problem with this child. It is the will of God that we grow in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is the will of God that we progress, that we climb higher, that we move farther than what we were the night that we received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout amen. Praise the Lord. And I know whenever he talked about growth, he did specify that it ought to be in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I believe there's a reason why that he speaks of both our Lord and Savior. I believe it describes the two sides of our relationship with God. I believe it would be typed as the two faces of a coin. You have a coin in your pocket, I'm sure, and it has two faces on that coin, two sides, but it's only one coin. I believe that that is what the Lord and Savior is describing where our relationship with Jesus Christ is concerned. I believe that as our Savior, he gives us a positional relationship. Amen. I said a positional relationship of perfect standing before God. I want to just tell you tonight that you are not saved by your works. Amen. You can't be good enough to be saved on your own and by your own ability, by your own talents, by your own strength. The Bible teaches us that we are saved by grace, not of works, saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. You don't have your standing before God tonight because of how good you are. You don't have your standing before him because of how well you lived your life. You cannot stand tonight and say, I am accepted based on my good works. I'll tell you how you're accepted tonight. You're accepted because you have a Savior. Hallelujah. I said you have a Savior. I find many places in Scripture, Luke 2 and 11, the angels of the Lord came to those shepherds by night and said, unto you is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, just stay with me for a few minutes here tonight and allow me to lay some groundwork, some foundation to get ultimately to some things that I feel the Lord would have us speak about in this service. I don't think that this truth should be something that we allow our mind to wander away from while someone is talking about it. I'm going to tell you tonight, if you're lost, you need a Savior. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you need a Savior. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, you need a Savior. You need somebody that will save you from your sins. And the angel told Mary, or told Joseph, to fear not to take unto you Mary your wife, because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she is going to have a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save. Somebody said save. That's what a Savior does, is he saves. Amen. Is that right, church? I said a Savior saves. That's his business. That's what he came for. He shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. sins. Our God tonight is not interested in saving you in your sins, but he is interested in saving you from your sins. He is your Savior. What is he going to be your Savior for? He is going to save you out of the world. He is going to save you from the curse of sin and death. He is going to save you from the eternal flames of hell. He is, oh, hallelujah. That tells me, friend, somebody ought to get acquainted with Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is going to be our Savior, we need to get acquainted with him. If he is going to be our Savior, we need to know who he is. If he's going to be our Savior, we need to know what it's going to take for him to save us from our sins. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Here I am screaming already. I'm supposed to be pacing myself. I'm trying. Hallelujah. We need a Savior. Right, right. Amen. You need a Savior. Amen. When you're lost, you need a Savior. Amen. To save you from your lostness. All right. You need a Savior to bring you out of your bondage. You need a Savior to break the chains of sin. You need a Savior, oh hallelujah, to open up your Red Sea for you, to bring to you deliverance that the world cannot give to you. It never was able to give to you, and it can't do it tonight. If you are saved, it's going to be because that you have in Jesus Christ a Savior. Praise the Lord. Get for me, if you will, John chapter 1 and verse number 11. Let's begin at verse number 11. I know that what I'm reading tonight at the outset are scriptures that you've heard time and again. Hear it one more time. I want to stress something to all of us that are in the house tonight. Amen. He came into his own, and his own received him not. Go ahead. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become what? The sons of God, who even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Hallelujah. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. When he, as our Savior, when we began to believe upon his name, we were given the power, the authority to become the sons of God. Amen. What did Jesus Christ do for us? He paved the way, friend, that we can become a son of God, which means that as our Savior, he gave us a positional relationship. I'm not out here wandering somewhere not knowing who my spiritual father is. But when I was born again of water and spirit, he gave me a position. And that position is a son of God. Amen. Come on, church. Hallelujah. To them gave he power to become what? The sons of God. And if he gave us power to become the sons of God, then he gave us a position in him. He allowed us to come into relationship. We came out of the world. We were of the seed of Adam. We had upon us the curse of sin and death. But when Jesus Christ, our Savior, came along and we repented of our sins, we were baptized in Jesus' name, and we were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, we became a son of God. He placed us in a position in him. Oh, hallelujah. As our Savior, he gave us positional relationship of perfect standing before God. That means, saint of God, that the night that you were filled with the Holy Ghost, the night that you were baptized in Jesus' name, the night that you repented of your sins and you got your heart right with God, you were ready at that moment in time. Had the rapture taken place, you would have gone with the church. I believe that. Come on, somebody say amen. I believe that. If I, and we have heard this, you know, it's not many cases that it happens this way, but I have heard of cases where people have repented of their sins, been baptized in Jesus' name, received the Holy Ghost, and before the night was out, they died. In fact, I even heard the story of one man that before he ever left the church, he'd received the Holy Ghost that night, and before he ever left the church, had a massive heart attack and died. Right in the church. Was he ready? You better believe he was ready. I believe in this message. Come on now. I said, I believe in this message. Did he understand everything there was to understand about living for God? No. Did he understand everything he needed to do to be pleasing in the eyes of God as he began to walk with God? No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm telling you that when you are born again of water and spirit, whenever you have been, when you have been converted from your old life to this new life, the moment of your conversion, oh, hallelujah. Come on now. The moment of your repentance and baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, you entered into a positional relationship with perfect standing before God. You became a son of God. You became one that was accepted in the beloved. Amen. You ought to get excited about it. Praise the Lord. And so we become the sons of God because he is our Savior. Now, how is it that that takes place? And I know, again, I'm going back through some things that to many of you is not new. But let me tell you how it happens. Let me tell you how it works. You have to realize that you could not die for yourself. You have to understand that the only thing that would satisfy the judgment of death or the judgment of sin, the curse of sin upon man was the death of a man. And because all men prior to Jesus were from the seed of Adam and they were conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity, they could not supply the death that was necessary for all men to be saved. But because Jesus was conceived of the Holy Ghost and was born of a woman, he became the Son. Oh, hallelujah. He became our Savior. And because that he was not of that same lineage, then he had the position before God of being able to serve as our substitute. Amen. Amen. You couldn't die for yourself, but Jesus could die for you. Ooh, hallelujah. I said you couldn't die for yourself, but Jesus could die for you. Now, because he died on Calvary, and because he was buried in the grave, and because he resurrected the third day and came out of the grave triumphant over death, hell, and the grave, then I can believe on what Jesus Christ has done for me. And I, through my repentance, can crucify my old man on the cross. And by baptism, I can bury that old man and that old life with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I am resurrected in the power of the Holy Ghost, I am given that power. I am given that spirit that enables me to walk in the light as he is in the light. Amen. Praise the Lord. You see, you apply what he did on Calvary to your life, and you are accepted before him.
Good. Amen.
Amen. Come on, church. You become a son of God. Oh, hallelujah. You are placed in a positional relationship. You have position. Now, there's one thing that nobody can ever take away from me in this world, and that is the fact that I am the son of this man.
Right.
Amen. Nobody can take that position away. I have a positional relationship with this man right here. I am his son, and he is my father. Are you still hearing me? Amen. And so nobody can take that away from me. As long as I live, as long, it doesn't matter, life or death, I still will be known as the son of John T. Bass. Hallelujah. One thing the devil can't take away from you is your birthright. One thing the adversary can't take away from you is your positional relationship in God. Oh, my Lord. Hallelujah. Once a son of God, always a son of God. Once born again, always born again. Once born of God, always born of God.
Amen.
Don't let your mind run away. I'm getting to the rest of it. Just hang on for a little while. Hallelujah. Amen. I am telling you that I am a son of God. I have been born again of water and spirit. He is my Savior. And because he is my Savior, he has given me a positional relationship. And I have perfect standing before God because of my new birth experience. The night I got the Holy Ghost, the night I was baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, all that transformation that took place, I became a son of God. And my position with him became one that cannot be taken away. Jesus said, no man can pluck you out of my hands. But now, he not only talks to us about him being our Savior and giving to us a positional relationship of perfect standing before God. Now, I don't feel like I've quite connected in your mind on what I mean by that. I don't feel like I've quite connected in the spirit, so I'm going to take it one step further. And I'm just going to tell you that by yourself alone, you cannot be saved. Huh? Your good works are not good enough to save you. I don't care what you can enumerate about all your positive attributes, they cannot save you. Amen. When I'm talking about a positional relationship of perfect standing, it means that when I stand in the presence of Almighty God, the Bible teaches us that God was in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Amen. When I stand before God, this is why it's important that you repent of your sins. It's why it's important that you get baptized and get covered with the blood of Jesus and get filled with the Holy Ghost. Because then when you approach God, you're not approaching God on your own merits. You're not approaching God on your own ability, your own good works, your own attributes. But when you approach him, you're approaching him with the blood. What he looks at is not who you were, but he looked at the blood upon your life. He looked, my God, hallelujah. He looked at the name that's on your forehead. He looked on the fact that you've been washed in the blood, that you've been sanctified by the Spirit. What God is looking at in you is not your past. He's looking at what you have become in Jesus Christ. You have perfect standing before God, not because of what you are, but because of what he is. Woo, hallelujah. When you go to pray, that's why he said pray in the name of Jesus, not in your own name, because your own name's not going to get you anywhere.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. So when you come to stand before him, and he is your Savior, when you have accepted him as your Savior, then when you stand before him, God, the Spirit, if you please, of the eternal God, is not looking at you as man or woman of flesh. But he is looking. The Bible said, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? Amen. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. When we are, the Bible said that if ye have been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. That means now when I go to pray, amen, I got something wrapped around me. It's not my old flesh. It's not my sinful nature. It's not my old way, but I put on Christ. How did I put him on? I put him on in baptism. I was baptized in his name. And when I put him on, friend, and I approach the throne of God, as I've approached, it's not me that's approaching. Oh, come on now. It's not my old flesh, but it's the one that stood in my place. It's the one that serves as my Savior. It's his blood that fronts for me before the throne of grace. I'm his son. Come on, the Holy Ghost is in this house. I said, I'm his son. I have a position with him. Amen. I've been raised with him to sit in heavenly places. The Lord has lifted me up above where I was in sin and has given me a position in him.
Amen.
And I have perfect standing before the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because of me, but because of him. When I go to pray, I'm praying in the name of Jesus. I'm putting the name there. He's fronting for me. You follow where I'm at? Amen. I said he's fronting for me. I can't do it by myself. I can't approach God by myself. And neither can you. But we do it in the name of Jesus. All through Scripture, we find him mentioned as our Savior. But not only are we mentioned as our, he is mentioned as our Savior, but he's also mentioned as our Lord. Amen. It is important that we recognize, first of all, that we have positional relationship through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Before God. You say, now you're confusing me because you preach that there's only one God. Now you're talking about Jesus Christ and you're talking about God. Stop and think. I'm not talking about two distinct persons in the Godhead. I'm talking about that one who became flesh. That God that put on the flesh of man. Robed in sinful flesh, if you please. Amen. Or at least robed in flesh. And so, he, being robed in flesh, gave his body for the purpose of reconciling all these other bodies to his spirit. So when we're talking about standing before God with Jesus Christ, we're talking about the man. And let me take you to scripture to tell you what I'm talking, show you what I'm talking about. 1 Timothy, Paul writes and says, there is only one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Said nothing about the God, Christ Jesus. Said the man, Christ Jesus. He's our mediator. He's the one that stands between us and God. Well, praise the Lord. For one to be a mediator, you've heard me use this example. Let me use it tonight. I feel like I need to get this point finally across before I move on to lordship. But in order for him to be a mediator, in order for one to be a mediator, he has to have something in common with the parties with which he is mediating. We have mediators in our world today, and they have some things in common. They understand both sides of the picture, and they are there to mediate between the two. Jesus Christ was God. God manifest in flesh. He was God because he was conceived in the Holy Ghost. He was God because he was robed in flesh. And he was man. Oh, hallelujah. He was man because he was born of Mary, which means that he had something in common with all humanity. He was man, and yet he had something in common with God because he was God manifest in the flesh. He could get a hold of the glory world and get a hold of the earthly world and stand as our mediator. There is only one God. Paul said there's only one God. There is no God beside him. And there is one mediator between that God and all men, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. And it is through Jesus Christ, the man, the flesh, the sacrifice, the blood that was offered on Calvary, it is through him that I have a position with the Almighty. Amen. And that cannot be taken away from me. I am a son of God. Oh, praise the Lord. You know why I know I'm a son of God? Because I was born of water and spirit. And you can never, ever convince me otherwise. Amen. I know what it's like to go down in water in Jesus' name. And I know what it is to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking with other tongues. So devil, babble your mouth all you want. You're not going to convince me of anything less than the fact that I am a son of God. Praise the Lord. Now, When the Apostle Peter talked about us growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I believe it's important that you have the knowledge in your mind that Jesus Christ as your Savior has given you a position before God as a son of God. But we cannot stop there. We have to go further and realize that he is not only our Savior, but he is also our Lord. Amen. He is our Lord, and he gives us an experiential relationship. Our Lord gives us experiential relationship of progressive growth in God. My Lord, as my Jesus Christ, as my Savior, gave me position. I'm a son. But as my Lord, governing, ruling, directing my life gives me an experiential relationship of progressive growth. In other words, now that I am living for God. Now let me back up and repeat one more time. That anybody born again of water and spirit, the night that you were baptized in Jesus' name, the night that you were filled with the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking with tongues, like they preached in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38. That's the night that you were born again. That's the night you were converted. And upon your conversion, you were ready. You were in position. You're a son of God. And had the rapture taken place right then, you would have went with the church. But because that the rapture did not take place, you need more than just a Savior to give you a positional relationship. You need a Lord who is the governor of your life that will help you to understand what an experiential relationship is. Not just a positional relationship, but an experiential relationship. One that you start experiencing as you walk with God from day to day, from week to week, from month to month. That Lord is there to govern you, to direct you, to lead you, to guide you. I'm telling you, friend, we need the Lord not just as our Savior. We need Jesus Christ as the Lord of our life, governing us. Oh, come on, somebody help me here tonight. Amen. The Bible teaches us by the words of the Apostle Paul. He said, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. Where the Spirit, no, come on. It's not liberty to do what you want to do. It's not a freedom just to go and do the things that you desire to do. But it is a liberty to now become
what Jesus Christ has purposed in your life that he wants you to become. That's what the liberty is all about. Because when you were out there in bondage to sin and death, you could not become what he wanted you to become. As a matter of fact, you could never be good enough. You could never accomplish enough things. You could never work hard enough. It was always a struggle. But when Jesus came along and gave you liberty by the power of the Holy Ghost, he gave you a liberty, my friend, to become what he has purposed in your life for you to be. Amen. We need lordship. And the Lord is that Spirit. In fact, you can't even have liberty without lordship. You can't have true liberty without lordship. You've got to have the lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. Come on now, don't leave me yet. I'm not quite finished yet. Amen. It is important to realize. Let me use example again here, and I think it's a good example. I have a position with this man. I am his son, but I also have experiential relationship with him. As I look back down the road, I can remember how many times that he set me down. Well, I can't remember all of them because some of it I didn't listen to, and I paid the price because I didn't listen to it. Amen. But you understand what I'm talking about. But there were times that he would tell me, he would talk to me, and he would say, this is what you need to do, and this is how you need to do it, and this is the way that it ought to be done. What was he trying to do? He was trying to build a relationship between he and I that was based on experiences of life. When you live for God, my friend, you're going to go through some experiences that you're going to need the lordship of Jesus, amen, to direct you through them. You're going to need the lordship of Jesus to help you. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, friend, we need the Holy Ghost to help us in these last days. Praise the Lord. I believe it's important that we have preaching, that we have teaching. Oh, God help me. Hallelujah. I said it's important that we have the preaching of God's word. It is important we have the teaching of God's word. But in the hour we're living in, you better get some lordship in your life by the power of the Holy Ghost. That when you're faced with some things that you're unsure of, the Holy Ghost can rise up and say to you, this is not right. This is not good. This is not the way I want you to go. I'm uncomfortable with you in this. And we listen to our Lord. Hallelujah. He is our Savior. He has assured us sonship. But we need him as our Lord to give us direction every day we live. Huh? We need the Holy Ghost to help us today. Somebody praise the Lord. Somebody praise the Lord. Amen. I said we need the Holy Ghost to help us today. We need some lordship in our life. Lordship that doesn't just say, I'm Jesus' name, and I've been born again of water and spirit, but that whatever we're here in church on Wednesday night, we're this on Thursday morning, and whatever we hear on Sunday, we're that on Monday, we're that on Tuesday, because the lordship of Jesus is helping us with our everyday experiences, our everyday relationship with him. I'm telling you, God's not pleased when we have found ourselves on an extended period of time where there has been no growth in him. It's the will of God that we experience growth, that we progress, that we move higher, that we draw closer, that we get near to him, and that we learn what it is to have an experiential relationship with God. Nothing wrong with saying to somebody, my Holy Ghost won't let me do that. I need a witness here tonight. Amen. I've been mulling over these scriptures for probably 2.5, 3 weeks now. looking at him, thinking about him. I got Philippians 3 and 20 talks about our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 1 and 1 speaks about the commandment of of God, our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Titus 1 and 4, 2 Peter 1 and 11, 2 Peter 2, 20, 2 Peter 3, 2, all of these combine those two together. They are grouped together. He is not just our Savior. He is our Lord. I'm so glad for the Holy Ghost, and I'm glad for baptism in His name, but I cannot stop with just believing that He is my Savior. I've got to submit to Him every day I live and say, Lord, I want You to be the Lord of my life. I want You to be the one that directs me, that leads me, that guides me. If I'm going the wrong direction, check me. If I'm about to say the wrong thing, put a muzzle on my mouth. Whatever it is, I want You to be the Lord of my life.
Thank You.
Thank You, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
You see, it's not enough that we just take Him as Savior.
Right.
It wasn't enough growing up that I just recognized that He was my Father.
Right. All right.
Come on.
I had to recognize that He was there for a purpose.
Right.
That as I was growing up, if the rod of correction was needed,
right. Right.
I submitted.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
If correction was needed by talk, discussion, whatever, direction for life was needed by counsel, I had to submit.
Amen.
Because He's my Lord. Amen. He was, in that sense, my Lord. He's my Father. He's the one that brought me in the world. Amen. I'm His son. But it's important that that sonship relationship, that I realize that it's more than just a position that's always give me, give me, give me.
All right.
Amen.
But it has to be a relationship that says, direct me.
Right.
Give me direction for life. Show me what to do. Show me what to say. Show me what direction to take. Come on, everybody needs to listen to me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We need lordship. Oh, yes, we do. When you look at the story, I find this kind of interesting, that when you look at the story of the prodigal son told his daddy, he said, Father, give me the goods that are mine. Give me what belongs to me. And I know I preached on this not long ago. It's been several weeks now, I guess, or months maybe. But whatever be the case, go look at the story again. He goes out, spends everything on riotous living. And while he's there in the pig pen, would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the swines ate if someone had just offered it to him. The Bible said he came to himself. And he said, what servant of my father has bread enough and to spare? He said, I will arise and go back to my father's house. He said, because down here I'm perishing with hunger. And he said, I will say to my father, Father, I have sinned against You. Make me a hired servant. What you think about this now? This young man had a problem with his daddy. He had a problem with the rules of his daddy's house. Huh? He had a problem with the authority in the father's house. He had a problem with that. And that's why he left. I want to go do what I want to do. I want to live the way I want to live. Just let me go on. And so he did. But when he came to himself, he said, Father, I just want You to make me as one of Your heart. That's what he's thinking in his mind. He's already getting in his mind. The speech he's going to give when he gets back to daddy. And so he gets up and starts home. And whenever he's a great way off, the Bible said his father saw him, and with compassion, he ran, fell on him, and kissed him, and began to weep and wail and cry out and say, "This my son was lost, but now he's found." Amen. Let me just read exactly how that whole situation unfolds in Luke chapter 15. Real quickly here. In Luke 15, it says here that he said, "I will arise. I'm going to go." He gets to his father. His father falls on him. Verse number 21. "And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him." Do you notice something here? That the father cut him off. He did not allow him to go any further. He did not. He said, "I am no more worthy to be called thy son." The father never let him finish his speech. He never let him go on and say, "Make me one of your hired servants." You see, the hired servants didn't have to live like the son lived. Servants didn't have to do things that the son did. And so what he wanted was the relationship of a servant to a master. And daddy said, "Oh no, you're a son. You've got position with me. And if you come back home, the same relationship that you left with is the relationship that you are going to restore."
Amen.
In other words, the same rules that applied to your life when you walked out will be the rules that apply when you come back in.
Amen.
Come on, somebody help me now. Hallelujah. You're a son. You're not a servant. I want to tell your friend now that it does not matter how far we go or what we do. When you have that positional relationship with God and you decide that look, you can even fail sometime. You can even make a mistake. And you can injure that relationship of lordship in your life, direction, guidance, instruction. Huh? You can injure that. And there's only one thing that will heal that, and that's repentance. Huh? And if you don't seek after repentance, then the Lord will, by the word of God, according to scripture, he will send chastisement. Because the Bible does teach us in Hebrews chapter 12 that he does chastise those that he loves. And so basically, here's the process. The process is that you, as a son, you have positional relationship with a Savior, by a Savior. And then you have experiential relationship because he's the Lord of your life. But if you, in the course of life, make a mistake, if you sin, you don't lose your positional relationship. But you injure that experiential relationship. You're not going to lose your sonship, but it will affect your experience, your walk with God. Because what does sin do? Sin separates. Huh? So while the boy was a long ways away from home, he was still the son of that father. But he had no relationship on a daily basis. No connection. And he left that relationship because he didn't like the rules of the house. And when he came back, he said, "I want to be a servant. Just put me back here in the back servant quarters and let me live back there. Let me live the way a servant, because a servant's not required of as a son is required. There are things a son has required of that a son that a servant is not." But the father would not allow him to come back as a servant. Once you are in that position with God, doesn't matter if you fail, if you make a mistake, or even if you backslide. When you come back to God, you've got to come back as his son. You're going to come back underneath the same rulership, the same authority, the same direction. Amen. If you don't seek a healing by way of repentance and a restoration of your relationship, then the Bible teaches us he will send chastisement. If you resist the chastisement and you reject the chastisement, and you still don't seek repentance, you can even eventually forfeit your positional relationship. Amen. There's going to be a lot of disinherited sons in hell. Because it's not a matter when you read scripture, the Bible does not teach us that once you are saved, you are always saved. I believe that once a son of God, you're always a son of God, but you can be disinherited. So that you don't get the inheritance of the glory world. You don't get the inheritance of heaven. What do we need, church? We need our Savior. We need the one that brought us out of the world. We need the one that delivered us from sin, but we need him as Lord. Amen. The one that helps us understand what path we are to take, what kind of life we are to live. We need him as Lord to keep us from sin. We need him as Lord to keep us from doing things that we ought not to do. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. I am telling you that this man, this prodigal son, when he came back, he was not permitted to come back as a servant. When he came back, daddy said, oh no, this my son was lost, and now he's found. Kill the fatted calf. My son's come home. The relationship had not changed. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to say a few things, and I'm going to wrap this up tonight. I can't go much further. Hallelujah. I get crazy thoughts sometimes in my mind when I'm teaching like this and I make a statement like that, you know. I can't go much further. You know, it's business. And I say, well, I hope he pulls another tooth next week. Hallelujah. It's crazy stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. The enemy will beat you up. I'm going to tell you now, sin's wrong.
Amen.
And sin will send you to hell. If you don't repent, sin will send you to hell. There won't be any sin over there. And if your heart's not right with God, when the rapture takes place or when you die, you don't have a hope of making the glory world. Come on, I don't know any other way to say it. It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. Amen. You're not going to enter there with sin. The sin that is not repented of is the sins that God can't forgive. Amen. And sometimes we make mistakes and we do stupid stuff and we do crazy things and we get out of line and we follow the wrong path and the enemy goes to working on us.
Amen.
Amen. What he wants to make you think is that you don't have a hope. You don't have a prayer. Well, you need to remind him you're a son.
Amen.
You're not a servant.
Right.
And I'm going back to the Father. And I'm going to ask the Father to forgive me. Because I've sinned against him.
Amen.
Huh? And I'm going to ask the Father. So what happens is that your positional relationship, as long as there's a desire in your heart to live for God, your positional relationship with God ensures the restoration of your experiential relationship. He always remains your Savior. He always remains your Father, the one that birthed you into his kingdom. But we lose that relationship where lordship is concerned because we resist him and don't allow him to govern our life, to check us when we are wrong. You don't always need a preacher to tell you when you're wrong. Come on now. You don't always need a preacher to tell you when you're not right. You got the Holy Ghost living inside of you. And that Holy Spirit that's living inside of you, it's your Lord. It is the one that serves as the Lordship. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And that Lordship Spirit that's living inside of you ought to be able to reach out and corral you. Amen. And it's important that when it's reaching out to try to corral us, that we yield to that. That we listen to that. And that we don't step the wrong direction. But if we do, we have an advocate with the Father. We can come back and resubmit ourselves to his Lordship. And when you come back to him after your relationship here has been violated and you have disgraced it or whatever you've done, you can come back. But when you come back, The same book that you heard preached when you went out. Same word that went forth. The same governing guidelines. Everything still applies because it governs sonship. Amen. I said govern sonship. So we need the Lord as a Lord. We need him as a Savior, but we need him as Lord of our life. Amen. I'm going to tell you, church, we need to start listening to the Lord of our life.
Yes, sir.
Don't listen to your old flesh. Your flesh will get you in trouble. Do I hear a witness? I said, your flesh will get you in trouble. The desires of the carnal mind and the desires of the carnal flesh will get you in trouble. It'll trip you up every time. And if you've got the Holy Ghost inside will check you. Come on, I know what I'm telling you is a fact. When you start to say something you ought not to say, the Holy Ghost, if you will let it, will check you and say, don't say that. You're going too far. Amen. If you start to do something you ought not to do, your Holy Ghost ought to check you. Amen. I close with this example. If a man like Joseph could stand in the presence of Potiphar's wife, who was doing everything in her power to seduce him, and he could say to her, there's no way that I can do this. Because if I would do this, it would sin. I would be sinning against God. If that man could do that without the Holy Ghost, how much more ought we to be able to resist sin with the Holy Ghost?
Thank you, Jesus.
The Lordship of Jesus Christ is in the Holy Ghost living inside of us. And that Holy Ghost ought to be directing us. Amen. And whenever you're just about to do something that is going to bring spiritual devastation to your life, the Holy Ghost is wanting to get a hold of you and bring you back from the edge of the cliff and say, come on, don't go there. Don't go there. What I'm trying to convey tonight is, if you don't have him, you need a Savior. You cannot even enter into this experiential relationship with Jesus Christ until you first have attained a positional relationship. Until you have become a son, he cannot be your Lord. Amen. I've seen big signs, big billboards as I've gone into cities, and they put up Jesus Christ is Lord over, and it's the name of the city. And I'm thinking, how false that is. No truth to that. Amen. Because he's only Lord where he is accepted as Lord. And when a city is rampant with sin, it's kind of hard to stand back and say, Jesus Christ is the Lord of this city. Amen. And by the same token, we stand up and testify, he's the Lord of my life. That is a false statement. If sin is rampant in our life, and we have no guidelines, no structure, nothing there. Let's stand. Amen. I want him to be my Lord and my Savior. I want Jesus Christ to be my Savior. He alone is the one that can save me. But that's not all I want him to be. I want him to be the Lord of my life. So that as I leave from the positional relationship, or as I begin to walk in that positional relationship, I experience him on a daily basis, giving me direction for life, helping me making the right choices, choosing the right things, going the right direction. I need him as the Lord of my life. Amen. He's two sides of the same coin. If he's your Savior, he's going to be your Lord. Because if you resist his lordship after a period of time,
and you keep resisting it and keep resisting and keep resisting it, then you will lose your positional relationship. You will be basically disinherited. Amen. My maintaining my positional relationship is based on me maintaining a spirit of repentance in my life before God when I have done wrong. Amen. How many wanting to be Lord and Savior?